Okay, so we finally got one that actually sounded maybe like a massive evil ogre or troll would. But I can't imagine that that would sound any better than I would. So at the very least, if I ever need someone to stand in for me, I think I'll maybe have it be the massive troll, so nobody likes it any better. And hopefully it would be funny for only a few minutes in one episode listening to that voice. Here it is again for anybody that also finds it funny like I do.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing.
He does sound pumped about AI marketing, I will tell you that. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, Navigators, back today with another Daily Digest episode for you. Lots of news in the last couple of days in the AI world, of course. Nothing new there. But I've plucked out a few interesting stories with the help of the Rundown.ai newsletter, as usual, that I think are worth highlighting for digital marketers out there especially. The first thing I want to talk about today is a new partnership between an AI video generation tool, a company called Klay with a K, not to be confused with my favorite outreach and sales tool, Klay.com with a C, which we have talked about. This is Klay AI, a video generation model that has recently signed a partnership or inked a partnership with UMG, Universal Music Group, to create safely legal copyrighted AI generated music in their model, in a new model, actually. And this sounds much like the partnership between Lionsgate and Runway in the AI video space. So it's another sign of the big players on the corporate side of the artists and the arts hopping on board with Gen AI where they can. And it's a good thing to see it being done legally and respecting artist copyrights. And that's obviously a huge issue in Hollywood and with AI implementation there and all that. And I think it's another positive signal for, at the very least, pro AI or AI optimists in the creative space that Hollywood is not so much Hollywood, but the corporate side of the arts and creators like Universal Music Group are embracing AI and continue to do so. But this will be done through a new model that Klay is developing, like I mentioned, and they're calling it a large music model, an LMM, and it's called KlayMM, and it is going to be launched in the coming months. The post here on universalmusic.com, linked in the show notes, also gives a little bit of background on the team at Klay. They mentioned their founder and CEO, Ari Ati. Apologies for any mispronunciation, as usual. They also are led by Chief Content Officer Thomas Hesse, who actually is at Sony Music Entertainment as well. So being at Sony Music, definitely a big player and a big stakeholder in the music world. Hesse was very involved in the iTunes Music Store as well as the Vivo music video platform. So he's been around the block in the digital music space for sure. Definitely check out the post here for more background on some more of the team at Klay. They're also picking up a recent head of research from Google DeepMind named Bjorn Winkler. So definitely taking some big steps and making some big new moves in the video and music generation space for sure. And to me, this kind of illustrates that you may not be one of the immediately recognized companies or the first tools in the space when it comes to Gen AI. For instance, there's some pretty popular and well-known Gen music tools out there right now, like Suno and Udio that we've talked about on the show, I think, at least in passing. And those are just the two that I can name from the top of my head a little bit. And they're a little bit more well-known specifically for music generation, but they're all coming up against a lot of legal barriers and copyright issues and lawsuits. And I had never heard of Klay AI. And they are actually now the ones who have been able to iron out a deal with the corporate powers that be in the music industry. And it's likely going to cement them as the leader in the near future for AI-generated music as the legal rulings continue to come down on the copyrights for these Gen AI models. Okay, next up is the latest news coming out of Google's I/O 2024 event, and it's about agentic AI. So you know I'm going to get hyped on it. It's their new agentic AI project, called Project Astra. And in short, Project Astra is meant to be Google's AI assistant on device for users day to day, particularly on smartphones. It is being built using the advanced Gemini models and has a bunch of capabilities that obviously make it incredibly powerful for use on devices and as an assistant. It has multimodal processing, so it can understand and respond to text and images, visuals, so video as well. All of these inputs, as well as auditory input too. So the AI that is empowering the project is going to be Gemini's most advanced model, and it will likely have some reasoning capability baked in as well. So it'll have very, very high contextual understanding about its user, about the data on the device. But even more interestingly is that it's going to have very high spatial awareness and spatial processing capabilities, which are going to allow it to be able to literally understand the world around it and understand the environment around it. And it's going to be able to understand what's going on around it. So you combine that with this multimodal input processing, and you have an incredibly powerful AI assistant in your pocket, which we've talked about before in the case of like Apple Intelligence. And I may have just picked the worst time to switch over to Apple, doing it in the last year or so, because reading and learning about Project Astra is kind of making me wish I was still over in the Android world. So far, it's sounding a lot more powerful than the Apple Intelligence features, and it certainly looks a lot more powerful than the early Apple Intelligence features that are starting to be rolled out in some software updates. Again, according to the rundown, these Apple updates or these early Apple Intelligence features are largely just productivity enhancing features. So writing and QA and proofreading and grammar suggestions, all those things. There are some improvements to search and Siri apparently, but it's certainly not the level or the full level of the functionality that they've led us to expect from the new Apple Intelligence system. And some of the other key features of Astra, they just sound insane. We talked about obviously the high level cutting edge capabilities that it's going to have, but like spatial awareness and the visual processing, but it's also going to have the ability to identify individual objects and landmarks, even interpret code on a computer screen. So things as detailed and complex as code on a screen or words on a piece of paper, it's also going to be able to pick up on that. What is also very interesting is that, yes, even though it was initially designed for use on smartphones, Astra has also shown potential use cases for other devices, like wearable devices, like smart glasses, which is another tool that since the advent of AI is definitely back on top of everybody's minds. We did an episode about Meta's Orion smart glasses and the Snap spectacles. So the fact that AI assistants or AI agents like Astra can be run on those type of devices is certainly interesting. And Google will be noting that for their own future glasses. And I'm sure Google will be noting that for their future glasses as well. According to the announcements from the event, the launch for Project Astra has been a little bit delayed. The project is set to be released in 2025, so we shouldn't have to wait too long. And apparently the delay has a lot to do with the complexity and the potential impacts, societal impacts of the tool as far as safety and privacy and data and privacy goes, guardrail implementation, which we talk a lot about on this show. So it would be hypocritical of us to be too upset for having to wait longer if it meant that this incredibly advanced technology and, to be honest, privacy threatening technology is released on everybody's cell phones. Okay, the next update is a relatively small one, but I think it's an awesome feature, and I wish it was more prevalent in other AI tools like Claude. And that is the ability to now search your chat history on ChatGPT. So all the chats that you've generated, you're now going to be able to search those going back. You're going to be able to pick up on chats that you've left off with. Super handy. I will share the post to the X thread or the link to the X thread that was also highlighted in the rundown newsletter. And I can just read it for you, for those of you who don't want to click over. It says that we are starting to roll out, we being ChatGPT, roll out the ability to search through your chat history on ChatGPT web. So now you can quickly and easily bring up a chat to reference or pick up a chat where you left off. So I don't know about you guys, but at this point, I already have tons of chats open, particularly in Claude, that are somewhat hard to navigate. I definitely end up just opening new chats often out of frustration, not being able to find where I left a particular chat that I like to use. And there is some categorization and organization you can do with projects, and it would probably help if I rename them or classify the names in some way. So there's things you can do. But I just saw a comment in the X thread that also confirms or echoes my thoughts that something like folders would be really nice in these chat interfaces, both ChatGPT and Claude. And I can't think that would be super hard to implement, right? Maybe everybody over there is too busy thinking about super intelligence to think about things like folders in the chat interface, but I would certainly be a fan. Okay, and lastly, we're going to close up the Daily Digest today with a fun little demo. This is a new feature from 11 Labs.io, which we have, the tool itself we've featured a few times on the show before. It's all about creating AI generated voices for use in your projects, whether you're doing voiceover or dubbing or lip syncing. They have a new feature for creating voices called voice design. And it allows you to create an AI generated voice simply using text prompts. And I think that 11 Labs in general is super impressive. I think it's probably one of the top useful tools out there as far as AI tools go. And now that I think about it, I don't believe they were included in our useful tool episode, but I probably should have. So anyway, I think what we'll do is we'll create a voice live, demo the tool. They have a few randomized demo prompts that you can give the tool, and we'll see how the results are. And maybe we'll get one to act as a podcast host someday in my stead if I ever have some extra episodes or transcripts and I don't have time or I'm not feeling up to sitting down to record an episode. Although now that I think about it, it sounds a little too tempting and a little too dangerous. Might not want to give myself an excuse not to record in case, you know, maybe it ends up sounding much better than I do or something like that. Anyway, we'll see. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen now for anybody watching along on video. And this should look familiar if you've watched any of the other 11 Labs episodes or listened to them as far as the interface goes here. But on the left side, you can just select voices. You can add a new voice, and right at the top here is this new voice design feature. And again, it says design an entirely new voice from a text prompt. And they give you a few example ones. The first one is, for instance, an old British male with a raspy, deep voice, professional, relaxed, assertive. And you can randomize them here. Oh, this next one, for instance, is a massive, evil ogre, a troll. So let's just do that one for fun. Let's see what a troll would sound like. Maybe reading the intro to our show or something like that. So let me just grab the typical intro and we'll see what that sounds like. And it's going to take a couple seconds to generate. So just hang on and we'll skip ahead for those of you listening. One moment.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing.
Okay, well, to be honest, I don't know that specifically sounds like an evil ogre or a troll, but maybe someone with just a deep voice. I don't know if that, you know, no offense to anybody out there. If you have a deep voice, I guess 11 Labs might think you're trollish, but I don't think so. But they do give you three different types of voices. So let's listen to these other two options for the evil ogre troll version of the AI Marketing Navigator.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing.
All right. To be honest, I'm a little surprised and disappointed at 11 Labs so far, especially considering this is one of their randomized prompts that they gave us to generate. So let's try this last one and see if we can get a little closer here to the prompt.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing.
Okay, so we finally got one that actually sounded maybe like a massive evil ogre or troll would. But I can't imagine that would sound any better than I would. So at the very least, if I ever need someone to stand in for me, I think I'll maybe have it be the massive troll so nobody likes it any better. And hopefully it would be funny for only a few minutes in one episode listening to that voice. Here it is again for anybody that also finds it funny like
What's
I do.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing.
He does sound pumped about AI marketing, I will tell you that. Okay, that should do it for today's episode, everybody. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated. It is by far the most helpful thing you can do for the show. So until next time, and as always, thanks for joining me. And remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.